Atomic Radio Hour.
Hi, everybody. Welcome. It's time for Atomic Radio Hour, the post-nuclear podcast, episode 301. Yes, 301. As of the recording of this, we are in a post-Fallout on Prime era. We have entered the era in which Fallout on Prime is no longer an idea, it's something we are striving towards. It is a thing. And I'm just going to say this now. My name is Vince, first off. Hello, you look great. You look fantastic. Thank you for joining us this evening. I'm going to say this now. I'm going to talk about it in this episode, but also Kyle and I are starting a companion podcast to this show that we are calling The Vault Boys. If I can get... I had the Deadly Lampshade, who's been a part of the community, the ARH, the Ghoulman community, for as long as it's been around, pretty much. I commissioned him to do some work for the show. If I can get a quick render, maybe the render's already done as of the time of recording this, I don't know, but if I can get something, it'll be on screen now just to show it off and promote it a little bit. Kyle and I are going to be doing a watch-along series, much akin to the way we did The Last of Us, but instead of it being every episode, we're doing the first four episodes and the last four episodes. I have seen the first episode. And I didn't cry as much as I thought I was going to, but we'll talk about that in just a moment. Be on the lookout for that. I don't have a date on when that's coming out. I just know it's coming out after the show has come out. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for spending any modicum of your day with us. If you like the program, if you enjoy what you're seeing, and if you like Fallout, consider checking out the Patreon in the description below and check out the Discord where you can hang out with a bunch of like-minded Fallout fans. So the show's out. And I'm not overly ecstatic because I think it met my expectations perfectly. And my expectations weren't low. I was trying to not get ahead of myself. There was a lot of hype building up to it. This show, just the promotional stuff for the show, has had a budget like I've never seen before. I'm going to talk about the first episode as much as I can without spoiling it. There will be no discussion of spoiler here. I'm just going to talk about what I liked about the show. My few nitpicks, which are little minor stuff from just the first episode. But first, somebody from the Discord, Mr. Tom Flood, who again has been in the community for as long as I can remember, was very, very nice to share his experience with us, and I asked if I can share it with you, and I would like to do such. For those who are watching live, if you like the show, check out the Patreon. There's an option to watch these episodes get recorded live every week. For those of you who are watching live, if you go back into general chat, you'll be able to see the pictures that I'm referencing, that I'm about to talk about, a little bit of the ways up. So I'm going to put these pictures on screen as I talk about them. And the first one is of replica coffee cans, a Pip-Boy, and sugar bombs directly from the show. They were props used on the program. They were props used for Fallout, for the Fallout show, for Fallout on Prime. And I have to say, they look phenomenal. It's very much a one-to-one akin to real life. There's another one of a syringer, a full, what I assume to be a syringer rifle. It might be, no, it's a syringer rifle. And it just says Fallout, the date that it comes out. Another slide that was shared with us was iguanas, almost jerkied iguanas. Again, on screen shall be these Instamash boxes and cram boxes and Fancy Lad snack cakes all look like they are pulled out of the game, especially Fallout 3. I know they're in other games, but for me, the Fancy Lads and the Instamash are very much the renders from Fallout 3. The potato crisps, which I've never understood, if they're supposed to be chips, why are they in cans? And I mean, I guess they're supposed to be like Pringles now that I say it out loud and sound like a goober, but they're metal cans, and I don't really think of metal cans when I think of Pringles, but also this is back in the day. Vault caviar. Just caviar. With the Vault Boy and some fish on it that look fantastic. A vault suit that is just a worn vault suit from the show. And our friend Mr. Tom Flood at the entrance wearing a Fallout 4 shirt. This was in London. Sorry, I should have prefaced this a little better. This is in London at the Samsung Theater. And one of the clips that I'll be showing that he shared with us is on this monster screen. Just this enormous jumbotron of a screen indoors. And There he is again. I'm going to double check with him, make sure it's okay if I show him. Him with a Vault Boy statue. All of the seats had Vault Boy pillows, which is just a nice little touch. Now here's a back shot of the jumpsuit. A Super Sledge, which honestly looks like the Super Sledge in Fallout 4. This one has sound. I wasn't expecting that. Hold on. Here's just a look at a bunch of people who are ready to see the show. This monster screen at the Samsung Theater in London blows my mind. This shot, which I hope doesn't DMCA me or anything, but it's a trailer on this big anus screen. On my phone looks fantastic. There's some Blamco mac and cheese boxes all destroyed. More potato crisps. A Braxo in a big can. Survival food rations. More jumpsuits and Pip-Boys all folded up. Nuka-Cola bottles, Nuka-Cola caps, what I could imagine are Deathclaw hands, Deathclaw gauntlets. He got a bunch of great swag. He got a bag, a Vault Boy mask, a t-shirt, two posters. And, like, the cherry on top, man. Like, you can't tell me everything I did was for nothing. Because it's a video of him in front of a poster giving a thumbs up like the Vault Boy saying, listen to Atomic Radio Hour. You can say all the bad shit you ever wanted to say about me, but people like my show and it's about the thing I love. And I'm international. The show is so good, guys. It's so good. It's so good. It's proof of what happens when you stick around, man. It's just... I want to talk about it, and I'm going to talk about it in the vaguest of vague senses. It's so good. It's so good. I've only seen the first one, and I want to know more about the vault. I feel like I could live there, man. If that's the one thing I've always said about Fallout 3 is that I feel like I've, especially when I went to DC, I feel like I've been there. And I feel like in the show, I could live in this vault. I could be in this vault. I could exist within this vault. And I'm not sure if I would want to, but you can, and it feels that way, and Lucy leaving the vault isn't a top 10, well, there's not even that many times you leave the vault, it's not a top 3 times you get to leave the vault, like today, like I was sitting there and I was going, damn, I got to leave a vault for the first time today, like that's my favorite experience of any Fallout game, is getting to leave the vault for the first time, is getting to experience the world fresh. This is the only property of Fallout where we don't get to go back every time and have an idea of what's going on and change the outcome. And I'm so excited to experience that for the first time. I'm probably going to get done recording this and then watch another episode, and I can't binge the series. And I can't binge it tomorrow either because... because I had to switch my plans around and I have to play D&D, and I wasn't thinking when it came time to do it because I wanted to watch the show tomorrow because I have to record with Kyle. So Friday, I have to go to work, go to the gym, and then come home, edit, and then binge all day. I say these like they're bad problems to have. Like, I'm employed. I have friends. My favorite thing ever is successful and is continuing. And is getting better. How many people do you know of every other fandom that are like, oh, hey, I'm a Final Fantasy fan, and it feels like there's droughts of Final Fantasy, or it feels like there's droughts of Resident Evil, or like Bayonetta, everybody loved Bayonetta, and then 3 came out, and it was like, I don't know what's going on anymore. It's so good to see the Brotherhood, and as the biggest Brotherhood skeptic, as the person who was so very afraid to see the Brotherhood shown in this... in this show, because I didn't want it to be overly harped on that the Brotherhood was the most important thing. I didn't want the Brotherhood to be the most important thing that is the be-all, end-all, and I feel like just from the first episode, they really handled it. Walton Goggins' character is amazing. Ella Parnell's character is amazing. I do not remember the fella, I'm sorry, who plays Maximus, and they do a very good job. It's... Kyle once told me when you watch the D&D movie, you can see the roles, the checks happening. Like, you feel that. And I never saw the D&D movie, and I didn't quite understand what he meant by that. And I see the speech checks, and I see the agility checks, and I see the luck, and I see all of it in the show. And it's... I grew up in a time where... And this is a mutually, like, this might be mutually exclusive. It might not be. Where Fallout was it is my favorite thing, but it was the only thing I felt like I had. It was the one thing that I felt like I had against my friends. My friends didn't like it, or they didn't play it. They just said, it's not for me. I don't love it. I don't hate it. It's just not for me. And it was my thing. It was my refuge. And man, it's just, it's not my thing anymore. And it hasn't been my thing for almost a decade. It never was my thing. Like, that's the thing. My favorite movie is The Thing. It's just, the thing is that it never was mine to begin with. It just felt as if it was mine. And part of me thought it was bittersweet that I had to give it up. And it's like, what are you giving up? Everybody likes this. Fallout 4 made more money than they knew what to do with. New Vegas is one of the greatest games ever made. Fallout 1 inspired generations of people to make games, to indulge in fantasy, to indulge in things that they like. Fallout 2 is one of the best written games ever made. Fallout 3 is home to me. And it's just so nice, man. Like, it's good. And I'm trying to not sit here and be like, I'm trying to not just be like, oh, I'm a fan. I'm fanboying out. Oh, they did the thing I like. There's a point in time, and I'm not, this isn't a spoiler, but it's, they play like the karma noise. And it was so stupid that, like, they didn't need to play it there. And I just was like, I'm 11 again, man. Like, I get it. I get it. It's good. It's so good. It's so, so very good. I have one gripe, being, well, actually, now that I think about it, it might be explained, but I'm not entirely sure. My one gripe is a certain character does something that was a retcon. This is as vague as I can make it in the first episode. That was a retcon. It seems to be something that they're keeping around. Wasn't huge on that. And I'm not huge on the vault suits, to be completely honest. And I know that's a super, super nitpick. They're more akin to Fallout 1 suits, and I really like that. But they're a little more armored, and I don't think that's a spoiler, because I think we've seen the vault suits a lot, and I think they're just a little extra padding in, like, the chest and the belly, and on the sides and the legs. Other than that, I really, really didn't have much to complain about. There seems to be, the plot's obvious so far, like, the setup, not in a bad way. It's just, if you would have rolled a D6 and wrote six different, scenarios for what the plot of the show is going to be, I'm pretty sure you would have guessed you would have written it down. Like, and I'm not saying that in a bad way. It's very good. It's just, I wish I could talk about it more, but hey, if you want to hear me talk about it, like, in earnest, soon, hopefully, sometime in the following week, The Vault Boys, again, if I have a render, it'll be on screen. The Vault Boys, a watch-along podcast for Fallout on Prime, it'll be on Old Man Vince, the YouTube channel. It'll be on my YouTube channel, where you can watch it, you can see it, you can see how I feel about the show. So far, very good, and like I said, when I'm done, I'm going to go watch episode 2. Okie dokie. So it's good. It's very good. Thank you for joining me here tonight. I'm so very happy that you decided to stick around. There are some things I would also like to talk about. Atomic Radio Hour is a podcast based on the Fallout games, where I talk about lore, I talk about what's going on in the games, and I have to talk about the lore. But before I can do that, I have to thank the Patreon. So because of the Patreon, the show can continue to grow and get better, and I can do things like Vault Boys, the Fallout on Prime watch-along show that I'm doing with my friend Kyle, because of the Patreon. I had some art commissioned, and I will be paying for that through the Patreon donations so I can make more stuff for everybody. So starting from the top, I have to thank some people. The names on screen currently, starting with the OG Noah. I have to thank Noah. After Noah, I have to thank Marcus. Thank you to Marcus. After Marcus, I have to thank Mellow Millhouse. Thank you to Mellow Millhouse. After Mellow Millhouse, I have to thank Captain Lennox. Thank you to Captain Lennox. And newcomer to the Film Live before a studio audience tier, a one Danish Hound Dog. Thank you and welcome, Danish Hound Dog. Thank you to all of the Patreon, the folks that are here tonight, Marcus and Captain Lennox. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you for your patronage. I love you guys and I appreciate you. And let's get on with the rest of the show. So usually what I do, unless it's a big milestone, I want to talk about a certain something, I go to the Patreon like I did today. I go to the Gooman Entertainment Patreon and I ask a poll question. And for those who are here tonight, I'm going to start posting them in the Discord. And I keep forgetting that I didn't do that to begin with. So I'm going to keep posting them in the Discord so you guys will know when the questions get asked so you can answer them right away. I'll go into the Gooman Patreon and I'll ask a question about some lore in the Fallout universe. Now for this week, knowing that I was going to watch the show, coming off of episode 300 and all the editing I had to do and the busy week and weekend that I have ahead of me, I wanted something a little lighter. I asked a question about two characters that I feel like everyone interacts with at some point when you're playing Fallout 3 in New Vegas, but who you don't really talk to much more than, hey, I need this, I need that. I need supplies. I need your help. I need to talk to you briefly if you've got a moment. So the two people that I thought of was Chief Gustavo from Tenpenny Tower and Chet, the merchant in Good Springs. So if you'd like to hear any lore, and I mean any lore whatsoever from the Fallout universe, be it the games and now the show, make sure to check out the Patreon. From the $1 tier to the $10 tier, your voice will be heard every week when I ask a poll question about some Fallout lore. And this week's lore, by way of the Gooman Entertainment Patreon, is on Chet from Fallout New Vegas. A lot can be said about Good Springs. Good Springs might be one of the best starting locations in a game. Maybe not ever, but at least top 25. Definitely higher than Pallet Town. Just my own opinion. But what's nice about Good Springs is it teaches you every mechanic, almost every mechanic of the game, almost immediately. It introduces you to great characters. It introduces you to a fun world. You get to meet Sunny Smiles. You get to meet her dog Cheyenne. You get to meet Trudy. You get to meet Easy Pete. You get to meet a bunch of people as you enter this world, and you get to understand the way the world works. And even as it breaks down, when you see the first interaction between Trudy and Joe Cobb at the Pioneer Saloon, you see all of these things happening in real time, and it welcomes you into the world, and you understand the world better because of it. Now, the problem with Ringo, the issue with Ringo, the fella who was a Crimson Caravan caravaner, was attacked by powder gangers, needed refuge, found his way to Good Springs, and they put him in an abandoned gas station on the farther end of town, and Joe Cobb, being a powder ganger, is looking for him. Now, this is all going on, right? We're going to come back to this in a minute. Chet is the owner and operator of the Good Springs General Store, and he's doing his best to keep the place running. Good Springs is along the Long 15, so there is a bit of commerce that comes from the south up towards Vegas that'll pass through Good Springs. Good Springs never seemed to me like a bustling hub of commerce, of trade, of ideas being passed around. It's very much a small town. Its quest that I just referenced prior is called Ghost Town Gunfight for this very reason, because it is a very, very, very tiny town. Actually, Chet is a super fitting character to cover because in the Fallout show, which I just watched for the first time, one of the characters' name is Chet. Chet, what's interesting about Chet is on the wiki, and I get all of my lore off of fallout.fandom.com, the Nukipedia, if you will. Chet, he's classified as a vault dweller, but as far as I could read and as much as I remember from playing, you never see Chet, he never talks about the vault. You never see him bring it up. Nothing. The only person I know for a fact from Good Springs that is from a vault is Doc Mitchell. He's from Vault 21. Now, he's just your average small town, I would say pretty much small-minded, almost conspiracy-minded individual, just the way I read him. I read him as not someone who is smart, but someone who is definitely susceptible to propaganda. He wants nothing to do with the outside world unless it is on his terms. He's been in Good Springs for a good while, and he's been to the Strip two times. He seems very much like the fella who goes to New York for the first time and goes, I gotta see if this pizza's actually better than Domino's. That's the kind of guy, very stuck in his ways. And I appreciate that the world is given to you, the world gives you this type of character to experience first. The courier can ask, have you ever been to New Vegas? Chet will say, twice. Both times I drank a lot of liquor and lost all my caps at the card tables. In that order. If you ever get to New Vegas, be sure to visit Gamora. It's the best casino in the city. You won't regret it. Word of advice, behave. Between the NCR military police and Mr. House's robots, you don't want to be causing any trouble on the Strip. Now, when I read that he went to Gamora, and I have written down in my notes here, what the f*** kind of freak shit is he on? Who goes to Gamora if you're not trying to get some ghoul strange and some psycho that'll blow your f***ing toenails off, looking higher than giraffe pussy up in the Strip? Like, just not the type of character. This is a repressed character, and that very much comes off. Like, imagine playing New Vegas for the first time and you're like, oh hey, here's this guy told me to go to this casino. The robot man wants me to go to the Strip. I'm in the Strip. Hey, this is that casino. This is it. This one. This is the one. Gamora, like Sodom and Gomorrah? That's what he meant by Gomorrah? And then you go in there and there's just dancing stripper ghouls. Not that there's anything wrong with being a stripper or a ghoul, but it's the only place that you can find it. And he's just like, hey. Check and help you find the men that have shot you in the head who have left you for dead. When asked about Benny, he'll say, the leader was a typical New Vegas type, typical city boy. He had a bunch of great cons with him. Probably hired guns. And if you ask about the cons, you say, they're tough sons of bitches. Mean, but not crazy. They'll leave you alone unless you got something they want. While we're talking about Chet, because I don't feel like we're ever going to get to talk about Chet very much ever again. If you go on the wiki, I'm going to put a picture of him up right now after I say this. The man who voices Chet looks like he would be Chet. Like, I don't mean that in a bad way. The voice choice, because, you know, it's a voice actor. So the choice of him being the voice actor is very, very fitting. Incredibly fitting. So like I said, the problem with Ringo, the situation with Ringo, Ringo being a refugee of his caravan that is no longer around, he's just trying to get back to the Crimson Caravan right outside of McCarran. Chet just thinks they should get rid of him. Chet's just a coward. He's a big, tough guy. He sells all the guns and all the ammunition at the Good Springs General Store. He sells all this stuff to help you fight wars, but he's the first person to not want to partake in the war. He'll sell you every single thing you need. He'll make sure you're armed to the gills, but he doesn't really mind to get involved. Cowardice. He thinks getting involved with this is going to hurt the town more than anything. He's really only genuinely interested in his bottom line. If you ask Ringo about the powder gangers and the situation that is going on with Ringo, he'll say, if Ringo doesn't head out on his own, I think we should just hand him over. The town shouldn't get itself mixed into the problem. Don't mistake that for coward talk, though. We're a town of survivors, and we'll fight tooth and nail if pushed. But we don't go looking for no trouble. Gotta stand up for what's right, Chet. Now, when you're doing the Quest Ghost Town gunfight, like I said, Chet doesn't want to get involved, but if you have a barter of 25 or higher, you can instantly get Chet to be on your side. You can say to him, let them take over the town then. I'm sure your business will be much better off. And Chet will say, you made your point. I can provide people with some leather armor and extra ammo. I sure hope it's worth it. And, I'll be guarding the general store while this is going on. I have to put my business first. You understand. People are dying, Chet, but think about the economy! Chet's regarded as one of the better merchants early on in the game. for low to mid-level equipment and general use items. The player character can also find all of the weapon mods for the Varmint Rifle, the 9mm pistol, and the 357 Magnum Revolver in his item shop. It is a great place to get started, and not a bad place to come back and buy chems from. Because of him being a merchant, he's very knowledgeable about what he sells, so he knows a lot about mods, he knows a lot about weapons, he knows a lot about ammo, but also he knows a lot about chems. When you bring up the great cons to him, he'll talk about how they sell chems and the potency of their product. There's a couple bugs with him that are nothing, not par for the course with a Bethesda game. A Bethesda is a published game made in their engine. He can run out of supplies and then never restocks. It happens on PC, 360, PS3. Like, it's just, it's in the code. It never got patched out. It just is what it is. But that's Chet. That's a character who we all know, who we all interact with, but I don't feel like we know. Like, we know him, but we don't know him. Like, oh, that's Frank. Yeah, he's cool. What's he about? Couldn't tell you. That's Chet. If you kill him, there's no karma, good or bad. It's just, he's gone now. but he's also just a piece of shit. If he doesn't want to give you the stuff for free to help the town, you can pay him 1,000 caps. I hope you guys enjoyed, because that is this week's lore. The Lunchables have chemicals in them and they're slowly killing our children. You heard it here first, folks. The Lunchables are coming for our children. First, they took our convenient lunch times and now they're taking this. So Kyle sent me this, and this is not something that I would usually talk about. Growing up as an Italian, which I know, boo, but growing up as an Italian, we were not allowed to have a lot of childhood staples that most Americans have. Chef Boyardee was not allowed in my house. I've never eaten a can of Spam, and I think I'd go hungry before I do so. But for some reason, we were allowed Lunchables. And not just any Lunchables, because I fucking hate the pizza one. I don't care what anybody says. Pizza Lunchables are gross. The nacho ones. I don't know why the nacho ones light up the lizard part of my brain. They do. That's also how Pop-Tarts are for me. I love Pop-Tarts, and I do not have Netflix, and I was thinking about getting Netflix. Well, I'm going to get Netflix in July because there's a Tyson fight. I want to get it because there's a Pop-Tart. I want to get Netflix because there's a Pop-Tart documentary on Netflix that's like star Seinfeld. So I'm really curious to see. Seinfeld has something that he was like involved with Pop-Tarts for like 17 years. If you want to hear about it, just Google Seinfeld 17 years and you'll find it. So we weren't allowed to have all these traditional. I wasn't allowed to drink Sunny D, too much sugar. I never was a sugar guy. I never was a soda guy, but like Sunny D was one of those that I went to other kids' houses and I was like, ooh, but don't get me wrong. It's not like we were Mormons or anything. It was just, you know, we didn't eat McDonald's every night. McDonald's was a, hey, we're out, you know, let's go do something. Not like a fancy sit down dinner. You know, we did that as well, but McDonald's was, you know, it was a treat. It was an every once in a while thing. So this comes from a More Perfect Union at Perfect US, More Perfect US on Twitter. Breaking! Lunchables have been found to contain dangerous amounts of lead. New research has also shown that Lunchables have chemicals found in plastics that have been linked to reproductive problems, diabetes, and certain cancers. Lunchables are served nearly 30 million children through the National School Lunch Program. That's fucking disgusting. Make those kids a real-ass meal. But the new research from the Consumer Reports finds that lunch kits often contain high levels of lead, cadmium, and harmful phosphates. You know, we used to feed, and I'm not justifying this, we used to feed children lead for fun. Growing up, if someone was acting silly, if they were acting like a big dumb doofus, you would look at them and say, what did you eat, paint chips as a baby? Because we knew that there was lead in them. Like, these are things that we knew. And I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, we were stronger. We were men. The men knew who the men were. The women knew who the women were. I'm not saying all this fucking manosphere bullshit. What I am saying is that I'm happy that we're catching it now. I'm happy that we know of the dangers. I'm happy that this is happening. I think it's disgusting that... the other part where the school lunch program, I read the first part and was like, I have to read this for the show. The second part I read live for you guys. I think it's gross that a school is serving Lunchables because a lot of schools charge, my school charged us for lunch. our school couldn't afford to do it, and they had to hire a company to come in and do it. And then I used to dress up as the Easter Bunny every year and Santa Claus, and they put me in the freezer to cool down, and a turkey on Thanksgiving for the elementary school, and they put me in there, and they put me in the refrigerator, not the freezer, but the refrigerator, with all the pre-cooked food that they just had to heat up, and I fucking steal the mini corn dogs, and you couldn't stop me. I was in there half off, like the Kanye wearing the fucking graduation bear uniform, the mascot uniform, with my head like hanging off the top of my head, eating mini corn dogs as fast as I could, chugging water, because I was like, fuck the public school system. And I just think it's gross that in a country that ranks so low, we're practically a third world country, we could at least make our children a fresh meal. I've been really on a Japanese toy kick lately, like really on a Japanese toy kick, to the point where I'm looking at these toys that cost hundreds of dollars and going, I can afford it. I can't afford it. I can do it. This limited run of 25 soft vinyl Godzilla toys, that's not even a color of Godzilla, but just, you know, purple and green and red. I can afford it. I can't afford it. They're like $200. And then I got to pay import fees. I was, sorry, tangent of all time. I've been doing a lot of research on Japanese culture, and the students in Japanese schools are taught to clean up after themselves. They're taught to respect the people next to them. What I learned in school is to lie, cheat, and steal, and you'll always get ahead. And there, it just seems, and again, outside looking in, it just seems like maybe those kids are taught genuine values. I also saw something recently about, it's like not a ceremony, but how the Japanese say goodbye. They say goodbye until you're out of sight, until you're out of the line of sight. They'll wave both hands. They're very excited to see you off, not because you're leaving, but they're excited because the time they spent with you is special. And hopefully, if both of you are lucky, you'll get to spend some more time together. And there's a video of this elderly woman bowing and waving with both arms as a car is clearly a quarter of a mile away. And then the comments on the video were just like, my kid went to school in Japan. I was a teacher there. We wound up moving to Korea, but this happened on his last day of school. And like, everybody came out. Every teacher came out. They all gave him presents. They all said goodbye. They hugged him. Like, I just wish America had values like that. Sorry to get to this point. But what I'm saying is, don't feed your children the Lunchables. The little ham. I did have the ham and cheese ones a lot as a kid, but I was also like a weird kid who only ate the cheese. I wouldn't eat the ham. I went through like a thing when I was in school up until like the fifth grade that was like, I'm only eating cheese sandwiches. And I couldn't fucking tell you why. I have no, maybe about fifth, sixth grade, I started eating like turkey and roast beef for the longest time. White bread, white American cheese. That's it. Some other stuff in the lunchbox. A nice chewy bar. In the chat, Captain Lennox says, lie, cheat, and steal. Keep a few good people close. And of course, if you don't fit in, you gotta mask. This sounds like a Gulman quote. Don't you just love the American school system? Yeah, man. That's, yeah. Like I said, I said at the top of the hour, I was a very lonely kid. I didn't feel like I had much. All I had was Fallout 3. And I'm noticing it now as I get older that there are so many people that don't fit in and are trying so desperately to fit in. And it bothers the hell out of me, to the point where this woman I work with, now she's got a history. She's a good lady. She's got a background. She was addicted to drugs. I think she might have ran with a gang. I can't say yes or no. She's trying to get her life in order. She's off the streets. You know what I mean? Like she's doing the right thing for herself. She wants to live. She's got kids. She wants to see her kids grow and whatever, right? And she's so worried about how everybody around her feels about her. And I said to her, I'm like, why do you care? And she's like, and she just left. She goes, you don't care about anything. And I was like, I care about what matters. That's it. And it hurts me to see men and women and they thems in their 30s and their 40s trying to fit in. And it's like, just be who you are. Because things get a little bit better. I hope you've enjoyed the show. This has been Atomic Radio Hour, the post-nuclear podcast. My host has been Vince. My name has been Vince. I've been your host. Thank you for sticking around. If you stuck around this long, why don't you go ahead and check out the Patreon if you got a moment? It's not mandatory. It's just nice. It's a little bit of extra support. Keeps the show going, getting a little bigger, getting a little better, getting a little harder, faster, stronger. The intro music is by the one and only Shane Ivers. Link in the description below to his website where you can get all of his free music. His song is called Feather Duster, but all of his music is free on his website, which is linked below. There's a link to My Shitter. My Shitter? God damn, I'm sleepy, tired. Big sleepy, big tired. In the description below, there is a link to my Twitter, the show's Twitter, and Kyle's Twitter, also the Discord. Why don't you check it out? Come hang out. Come have a little bit of fun. Hang out with your boy, your boys, your girls, your they-thems, your everyone else in between. I love you guys. Thank you for sticking around. The Fallout show is really, really good. Sorry if it was cringy that I was trying not to cry earlier, but vulnerability's hard. I love you. I'll see you next week, everybody. Bye.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
This has been a production made by your friends at Ghoulman Entertainment.